All right, welcome to Brews and Boxing. You know who I am. The Yankees are up 2-0 on the Toronto Blue Jays, and Frank Vogel is out as the Lakers head coach. All that aside, we got a lot to get into today. Say hi to James. James, what's up, dog?
What's up, Filthy Rich? Excited to get to the show. We had a lot of fights last week, so really looking forward to breaking some of this down with you guys.
All right. Marvelous Maddie, what you got for us?
Well, I got, just so you know, that Byron Buxton is the home run leader at this present time in the league. Just know he's the best one healthy. Bang.
All right, I had enough of that. So let's crack open our brews. I'm going to join you guys this week. Ta-da, surprise.
Oh, my God. Thing called
Bush Latte, it looks like. I think we're all on the same page today. Let's drink to that, boys.
Cheers, boys.
Oh, my water diet is working well.
That's right. Water.
That makes me so happy. Boy. You just crack that.
Blah, blah, blah. Let's move on with the show. All right, time for some brews and news. A lot to get into today. Our first story, Alexander Usyk has lost 22 pounds on his upcoming fight with Anthony Joshua. Looks like that Joshua fight is signed for July 23rd in Dubai. If I'm wrong, correct me. But James, what are your thoughts on Usyk dropping 22 pounds for this fight coming up this summer?
Well, this is big time news because Usyk is already a smaller heavyweight. Maybe not in the grand scheme of things, but against an Anthony Joshua, he's a smaller heavyweight. For him to lose 22 pounds, that's primarily going to be 22 pounds of muscle, because that's what you lose if you lose weight that fast. So this is going to be interesting. You're not going to be able to bulk that back up in 3 months. It's just not possible. So we'll see how much he actually gets back to it, if he can get back into the gym, and he has to hit the gym hard. And obviously, you know, he's just not going to dope, but there will probably be VADA testing like nobody's business because he is Ukraine, you know. So this is bad. If this is true, this is not good for a rematch. This definitely tilts the scales in the favor of Anthony Joshua big time. Probably too much to overcome, if I'm being honest. So
yeah, I hear what you're saying. Matt, anything you want to add? Marvelous Matt.
I'm hoping that Anthony Joshua is a man of just, you know, we've always known Anthony Joshua. He seems like a very nice guy. Maybe he gives, like, we do an like extension of some sort, because he knows that Usyk is going through something for his people right now, and give him an extension to get right. Because he, you know, does he really want to fight a guy that is not at his best? That's not what a champion is. And Anthony Joshua still to this day is a champion. He wants to fight the best, not a guy that's depleted. He's been over there. He doesn't have a nutritionist. He's out there eating MREs, and he's not, you know, training and stuff like that. So I'm hoping that they extend this fight a little bit and let Usyk come back and train the proper way and have a dietitian and have him correct for this fight, because the first fight was amazing. The second fight could be amazing. We don't want to see a guy depleted. And then does Joshua really want a guy that there's questions about, because he was over there fighting for his country and he wasn't training and he didn't have the proper diet? Does he want that on his resume? I don't think he does. He wants the best. And I'm really hoping there's an extension to that.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you both. I'm a little worried with Usyk. Losing 22 pounds is no joke, and trying to gain that all back is going to be a mess. I don't know if it's an advantage or a disadvantage. So at the end of the day, if you've got the skills, you can beat the bigger guy, or the, I wouldn't say better guy, but Usyk is the better guy. I don't think those skills just go away. The weight goes away, but the skills just don't diminish. I think he'll have the in-ring awareness and presence right away. On Joshua's side, this is what I worry about for him. He's in a lose-lose situation. He's in a lose-lose-lose situation. For one, if you lose to Usyk, you're losing to a guy who's coming off of a war, who's 22 pounds underweight, You look bad. I don't know how to put it. You just look bad. The other thing is, if you beat Usyk, it's still not a win, because you're beating a guy who is just at war. And how do you make yourself look good? The entire world seems to be rooting for Ukraine in this war, and you're going to go out there. You're not representing Russia, but boy, you're definitely anti-Ukraine, and that is not a good look. So there's two ways you lose in this fight. There's a third way. It slips my mind, but I don't know if this fight should even take place. Joshua should be fighting someone else. Usyk should just fight someone else. I don't know what they're going to do, but anything else before we move on? James, you got something, or should I throw it to the marvelous one?
I do have something. I'm going to take it because you talked to me first. Yeah, sorry, buddy. Yeah, well, Usyk is already training out in Poland. So that is, I mean, he is doing that. But you make a good point where if Joshua does have any sort of semblance, he would postpone this fight to allow him to get back to it. But I mean, the only thing I have to say is, if the fight does go on, even if you do lose this much weight, and he is the better boxer, he's the more skilled boxer, and he has that, he needs to have enough power to check Joshua, because if Joshua doesn't care about your power, he will walk right through you. And that's dangerous for Usyk. So even if he is the more skilled boxer, I think that's something that's pretty big.
Yeah, I hear you there. Marvelous. What you got?
James stole a lot of that. No, like the only way, like you said, the three ways that Joshua loses, and you didn't cover the last one, taking that fight on time. He only loses by taking that and going, yeah, I'll take it. So that's the third way.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah, I don't got him either. I'll drink to that in a little bit. But first, Adrian Broner is making headlines again. Looks like Showtime wants to revive his career and give him a big old fight sometime soon on Showtime. So just a general question for both of you. Who would you like to see Adrian Broner step in the ring with? Matt, we'll start with you.
Well, I got one. Well, first off, I really don't know what Adrian Broner's weight is at right now, because he likes to get big when he's not fighting. So I really don't know where he's at, but if he actually got something thrown out at him and he could make weight, I want one fight right now, and it's against Keith Thurman. Bang, bang, let's do it.
Keith Thurman's your answer. Great answer, sure.
You're damn right.
No, boy. James, you want to see Adrian Broner in the ring with someone? Pick him out. Who you got?
God damn it. So... I also had one name, and I wish I would have gone first, because my number one pick would have been Keith Thurman.
Yes, yes!
Yeah, 100% one time versus the problem. Yes. Definitely would have been at 147.
And it would have been a one-time problem.
Well, we'll see what happens. Well, maybe we'll see what happens. But that would have been the guy that I would have... that I would have said. Otherwise, if I don't keep Thurman in the mix, if Broner's trying to do something to get his name out there, oh man, I don't know. He could fight an up and comer like a Boots, like a Conor Benn or a Stanionis, but I just don't see any benefit for Broner in those cases. I think him against Thurman at least gets him some money, and then it's going to show which ones, you know, who's here to stay and who's here to play.
Yeah. Well, you know, Adrian Broner can't make weight, and he has been inactive for over a year now. And when I think of guys who have kind of been inactive for over a year and I haven't seen them fight, is someone like Danny Garcia, who supposedly moved up to 154, but I don't see him active at all. He moved up to 154 like a year or so ago. We haven't been able to rank him at 154 because we haven't seen him in the ring at 154. And we don't rank him at 147 because he's already declared he's moved out of that weight class. Since Adrian Broner doesn't really have a weight class, and it doesn't seem like Danny Garcia does either, let's just put them two in the ring together, figure out a weight. I'm sure they can come to some sort of agreement. Keith Thurman's probably a good answer too, but Keith will make weight. Adrian's going to do his own thing. Adrian's going to do what Adrian does. We're probably not going to talk about this, but Floyd Mayweather's making headlines. There was a while back, Adrian Broner beat a Floyd Mayweather guy. And after the fight, he called out Mayweather, said, "I came from cornflakes and water. Floyd's got to see me." And if Adrian is in all the debt he is in, and him and Floyd are boys, Floyd needs to cut that check to Adrian, because that would sell. That would sell a lot. Adrian can do all the talking to sell that fight himself. Matt, I saw your hand up. So, James, you got anything you want to add?
I just want to say, who's going to steal Floyd's hat?
Oh! All right. Marvelous Matt, what do you want to add?
Stop one name that kind of what name kind of threw out to me, like, out of nowhere. Maybe if Broner actually does come back and he needs a little fight and actually, you know, make something happen for another guy, maybe Barrios.
I suppose. I think, yeah. I think so. I think it's an easy win. I don't think it does anything for Barrios. I think it's an easy win for Broner. I don't think it does anything for Barrios. Doesn't even do anything for Adrian. Just keeps him active. But probably makes for a good fight, though. I'll give you that.
I don't know. Barrios is still a name.
Yeah. I'm still a name. James is still a name. What you got, James? Anything else?
Nah, that was it.
All right, let's wrap this up. So that's it for Bruising News. A lot more to get into. Stay tuned. All right, Brews and Reviews time. Four big fights happened over this past weekend. We're going to do our best to break them all down and maybe show the future of what's to come for each individual, win or lose. Let's start with Michaela Mayer defeated Jennifer Han this past weekend on the ESPN Plus card. James, why don't you break down that fight for us?
Yeah, so we're going to lead off with a woman's fight. Every chance I get, I watch Michaela Mayer because I think she is a fantastic woman's boxer. And she had a good test against Jennifer Han today during this fight, not today. But she was, Han is quick. She's not like Hamadouche, where it was just go in and hammer throw as much as you possibly can until somebody wins. Han is definitely more agile, right? But either way, Michaela Mayer came in and did exactly what she normally does. Popped a lot of combinations, hit Han with some really good shots, did some really good feints. It felt like she broke her nose like three different times during that fight. Han became a bloody mess at the end, but to her credit, the corner didn't throw in the towel. She went the whole distance. Granted, 2 minute rounds might have been different in 3 minute rounds, but Michaela Mayer is the real deal, man. She is here. She is a top dog. And whatever she fights and whatever fight she's in. And this is, I cannot wait to see what's next, but she dominated Jennifer Han. And I can't wait to see what's next.
All right. Speaking of what's next, Marvelous Matt, Marvelous Maddie Bush, give us some suggestions, some names on who Michaela Mayer should fight next.
All right. So as far as names goes, Michaela Mayer dominated, as James said. I want to see her against the best, in my opinion. And that will be whoever wins Serrano versus Katie Taylor. And I know they're very close in weight. So whoever wins out of that fight, and you know, Serrano has fluctuated. Katie Taylor in the Olympics has fluctuated. So that fight is very feasible. So whoever wins that fight, why wouldn't we see Michaela Mayer against the winner of Serrano and Katie Taylor? And I think that would be an action-packed fight, regardless of who wins that other fight. Honestly, I think it would be amazing, and that'd be something I would tune in for.
Yeah, usually at this point, we say what's next for the person who was unsuccessful in that outing. This example, Jennifer Han. We're not going to cover Jennifer Han. I'm just going to throw a couple names out there for Michaela Mayer as well. Alicia Baumgartner is also a title holder in this same division. I think that would be the next step for me. And while the Katie Taylor fight and Amanda Serrano fight goes down, the timing will match up pretty well. Just one last name I'll throw out there. Delphine Persoon is 39 years old, coming off of like five wins. This might be the time to attack. So I would maybe think about Delphine Persoon as well. So those are a few names. For who's next for Michaela Mayer. Our next fight we're looking at is Ryan Garcia versus Emmanuel Tago. Matt, why don't you break this one down for us?
All right. Well, so, yeah, Ryan Garcia came back to the ring. The golden boy, as I like to call him, because he ain't the golden. Well, no, he's the golden child, not the golden boy. I'm sorry. I correct myself. I messed up. But I'm just saying, everyone wanted to see this guy. And you want to know something, what I seen in this fight. And I watched it, and you guys all know how I feel about Ryan Garcia. Yes, great fast hands, a lot of talent. But this kid, let's just say this. He fought a guy that was outsized. Ryan Garcia is a much bigger guy. And I watched a fight where he went survival mode, and Garcia could not end him, even after a knockdown early. This kid, Ryan Garcia, as much as everyone is high up on him, cannot cut off a ring. He's a flat-footed fighter. He slap punches. He throws punches like he's still punching the noodle when you're training. He's not trying to punch a real living man. Bush. And I'm going to say this. This kid has a lot more work to do before he can even think about fighting anyone at contention at this weight division. He needs to fight 4 or 5 more times against guys like this guy that have no chance of knocking him out before he thinks about fighting again.
All right. Well, look, me and James are going to disagree on that. But you got anything else you want to add to it? Went to decision. Would you say it was a close fight? Did the judges get it right, wrong? What's going on?
No. They got it right, but he's a flat-footed stand-up fighter that will get knocked out by anyone in that division.
Got it. Anything else you want to add before I throw it to James on what's next for Emmanuel Tago?
Just know I'm right.
All right, James. We can mute him and throw it to you. What's next for Mr. Emmanuel Tago?
Oh, man, Matt, you weirdo. Emmanuel Tago. So here's the difference. This was at a catchweight of 139, right? So we need to figure out where Tago is actually going to fight at, right? So let's say he fights at 140 next. He wasn't crazy impressive, but he was quick enough, man. And he did have some good shots. If he fights at 140, I'd probably throw him 3 names in the mix. Subriel Martinez, Jose Pedraza, or the up-and-comer Gary Antoine Russell. I think he is dangerous enough to be a problem for people because, obviously, like I said, he was supposed to not get knocked out by Ryan Garcia, but he didn't. So if he does drop down to 135, obviously, he's definitely not worth any of the big-name fights, in my opinion. But I got 3 names. I got Miguel Berchelt, if he actually fights again. Javier Fortuna. Or, you know, somebody's favorite, Jojo Diaz. So those are the guys that I got. I think this is, I think he showed something enough to get a bigger name fight at some point. So,
yeah, I know Jojo Diaz had some words about Ryan Garcia. We won't touch on that this week. But for Ryan Garcia, assuming he goes back to 135, which is like a stretch, the guy is already, what do you say about Isaac Cruz, about being a B-level fighter or something? Isaac Cruz is going to end your career. Isaac Cruz is fighting on the undercard of Spence and Ugas pretty soon against Gamboa. After he's done with Gamboa, the timelines match up pretty well. So if you want a piece of Ryan Garcia wants a piece of Isaac Cruz, I'd stay away, but let's try to make that happen. I know networks will get in the way on that one, as well as like Tank Davis. Tank Davis is another one. I think he thinks he can beat Tank Davis. I don't see it. I think because networks are getting in the way, this is a safeguard for Ryan Garcia, but the 13 million followers can't be wrong. They probably want to see you in the ring there too. The most easy fight to probably make here. Maybe I'm wrong. So it looks like Devin Haney just signed a deal with Top Rank for some reason for a 2-fight deal to make sure he gets that fight against Kambosos. So those are a couple names for you there. Tank Davis, Esau Cruz, and I guess the winner of Devin Haney and Kambosos, preferably Devin Haney, would be the one I'd want to see win or lose. So now I will cover Fundora versus Lubin. Sebastian, look, what do you want before I cover this fight? Go ahead, Marvelous.
Okay, Richie, you said the best thing I ever heard. Assuming.
I like that.
You're assuming that Ryan Garcia can box or ever will learn to box. He's horrible. I'm sorry.
What? This isn't Canelo talking to Demetrius Andrade, man. This is the horrible fighter. This isn't happening like that. Bad boxer, man. Are you kidding?
Yes, he is. Rewatch that.
Look, he hasn't fought in forever. It's ring rust. I think consider that ring rust. Plus, he has all those extra tattoos. That puts a lot of weight on a human being having all those extra tattoos, man. So. You got to give him some credit. He punches hard. He took a shot. He got dropped. He came back. I think you're being a little harsh there, but you know, obviously we know Matty Bush's thoughts on Ryan Garcia. I just wanted to say that. I just want to make sure we said that.
All right. I love you, James. That was good. All right.
All right. Have a seat, boys. I got Lubin and Fundora. Sebastian Fundora defeated Erickson Lubin on end of the 9th. Lubin didn't come out for the bell, I believe was the verdict. This was like an okay fight. It was, I want to say, very good. It was semi-action-packed. It was kind of one-sided action-packed. Lubin hit the deck with like 8 seconds to go in the second round. Got up for the 8 count, end of the round. Then I'd say in about the 7th round, I should even say leading up to the 7th round, to me, in my eyes, this was all Fundora. This is a 6'5" Fundora at full force, moving forward basically the entire fight and just nailing Lubin with everything he has. Did not run out of energy, nothing like that. Lubin had some retaliation, and at one point, Lubin did get like the upper hand in like the 7th round. I think it was Sebastian Fundora took like a step back, and that is when Lubin just went in flurry, and eventually Sebastian Fundora had to take a knee, and you can see him scream the F word out there. We don't know what that F word is on this show, but the after hours show we do. Then after that, it was all Fundora again. And at the end of the 9th round, Lubin's corner threw in the towel. Here's my only, like, it's not even controversy, but again, I had this all for Fundora. He may have lost a round, but even Steve Farhood had the round where Fundora was knocked down. He scored that a 10-9 round because Fundora controlled the entire round. But at the end of this fight, Lubin was ahead on all three judges' scorecards, including Steve Farhood's scorecard. I didn't see it that way. I don't see how Lubin can take the next step ahead, but I can see Sebastian Fundora moving up in the ratings. So I don't know where that is. I don't know what to do with either one of these guys. So I'm going to throw it both to you. James, I'm going to start with you. I don't have my notes here, but James, I'm going to start with you. What's next for whoever I'm supposed to throw? I lost my notes here, bro.
Oh, the hammer, buddy. I'm doing the hammer. So look, after all this, I'll touch base on some of the stuff because I did want to say some of this stuff, but Lubin did lose. I don't think he looked bad in that fight. Obviously he just touched on the scorecards, the whole 9 yards, right? But what's next for Lubin? I don't think this is the end for him by any means. Fundora didn't look that great against Sergio Garcia beforehand, and I'm surprised Fundora did what he did. Now, with that being said, Erickson Lubin, I got three names, right? At 154. He's now a guy that's going to be a name on a resume, which is unfortunate. He can still jump back up because he only has those two losses, one to Jermell and one to Fundora. However, Tim Zhu, undefeated, needs to come up, needs to make a bigger name. The hammer's a bigger name. Tony Harrison, just defeated Sergio Garcia. I think it was Garcia. He needs to come up, get his name back in the mix. And then a guy we haven't talked about in a hot minute. I think Matt brought him up a little bit ago, but Swift Jared Hurd, man, he's kind of nowhere either. Him and Lubin, that might be a good fight too. So I think those are the biggest three, the three fights for what's next for Lubin, in my opinion.
I like it.
I like it too. There's a name I'm thinking of right now, but Maddie Bush, Marvelous Matt. Give me some names on who is next for Sebastian the Towering Inferno, Fundura.
All right, for Fundura. Like, okay, first off, respect to Erickson Lubin for finishing that fight as much as he could with his face broken. I'm just going to say that. No, I have ultimate respect for that man and his toughness. But for Fundura, and you know what? James touched on one name, and I'm going to say the same name for Fundura. It's Tim Tzu. It really is. Because you want to know something? Fundura is still waiting for the main belt. And Tim Tzu is still there hanging out. And I think that would be an action-packed fight. They both fight on the inside. You know, Fundura is, you know, 6'6", 6'7". I don't even know how tall that man is. He could be 8 feet tall.
6'5" and a half, but nobody's counting.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just going to say, they both fight on the inside. I think that would be an action-packed fight. And I did hear an interview with Fundura after the fight. I don't mind the winner between Jermell Charlo and Castano. I don't mind that as the next fight. And then I do have one more fight, the interloper fight. And I know this man is young and maybe he's not ready for this yet, but maybe Xander Zayas.
Mm. Ooh. Another fight where the networks will get in the way.
Ooh.
Xander Zayas is a nasty little boy. I'll tell you that right now.
I don't think he's ready for the Tower Inferno.
No, I don't know. He's a body shot artist.
But come a few years from now, that might be the story where the dust settles.
Do you like that name up in there, don't you?
I like that name. I don't know if I like the name. I don't know if I like you, but
I like Xander's eyes, but I think it's too early.
Yeah. You know, I always pair up guys. You know, we're talking about coming off of a win. I look for guys who have also came off wins. I mean, that's what I did with Persoon and Michaela Mayer. I also like pairing up guys who come off losses. And Terrell Gachet just lost to Tim Tzu. So Lubin, I think Terrell Gachet is willing to fight everything. All his losses came off of big names, but I think that would be a good name to. What you got?
Lubin's already fought Gachet.
Did he already beat Gachet?
Yeah.
Yes.
Let him fight again, man. They went 12 rounds when they fought. That's got to be right.
Yeah.
And they're obviously meant to be. Bring it on. Gachet, Lubin, the sequel. It's just like.
Hey, can I ask, you don't think Fundura is ready for a Jermell or a Castaño?
God, that is the talk of the town right now. I think those two are ranked number one and two, and he is number three. I need to see him beat someone bigger than. He could be Terrence Crawford tweeted after the fight saying this guy is a walking cheat code. And yeah. He's getting retweets across the world right now. It is hard to beat someone like Sebastian Fundura. I think he could beat Charlo. I think he could beat Castaño. I think they can beat him too. It would make for a great fight, tell you that much.
I personally think that
James is champing at the bit here. What you got?
You personally think what? There,
I personally think Jermell Charlo would be a harder fight for Fundura. But
brilliant.
Let James have it.
Let me edit that out real quick.
Brilliant. Oh, all right, should we move on to? Go ahead, James.
No, I got one thing, man. You said that this was a pretty lopsided fight. I think this is actually fight of the year right now. I think we just talked about fight of the year. I think this is.
I agree with James. This is
the lead for fight of the year because it was all action.
All right.
I don't understand why Fundura doesn't fight at length at all. You don't get no shot. He doesn't know why he doesn't.
I want to ask you.
Shut. Oh my God.
I'm
off
it. You about 2 seconds. I just want to say that Fundura, that everybody kept saying during this whole fight that Fundura's best shot is his uppercut. Well, no crap, his uppercut is his best shot. He's 6'5". If you got a guy that's 5'9", what other shot do you have, man? It's an uppercut. If you're not using your jab or a hook, you have an uppercut, and that's all you have.
That's what you got, Marv?
I got it. I want to get into a little conversation about it. Because as fight of the year candidates go, yes, it was beautiful. Do you think it's better than Leywood Conlon?
No.
I don't know, man. It's up there, man. They had two knockdowns. I mean, they both had knockdowns. This one with the distance. I mean, the only thing that sucked was that Lubin threw in the towel. That's the only thing that sucked. But you saw his face. And that was controversial. Okay. You know, if you want to talk about that with the loaded gloves and all that stuff. I'm sorry, Rich. I know you're getting off.
That's a bunch of malarkey. Loaded gloves, come on.
I don't know about what's loaded gloves. Where are we hearing loaded gloves from?
Oh, that was a multiple rumor sources. A rumor is floating around that Fundura had loaded gloves. That's why his face looked like that.
Yeah.
There's uncredited, so who knows? It's probably both.
It's very uncredited, and there was no testing for this fight either. So
Okay. Let's try to pretend. I don't know. Let's pretend this was a legitimate fight and everything went by the books. If you watched, I believe it was Rockman versus, was it Lennox Lewis or Lennox? I think it was Lennox Lewis, where Lennox Lewis gave him that big knot.
Haseem Rockman. Yep.
But that was Lennox Lewis fight, right?
Yeah, but that was Lennox Lewis.
It was Lennox and Haseem Rockman gave him like a hammerhead shark looking thing, like Carmen Basilio got from Sugar Ray Robinson. This was same thing Lubin had in his, like right between his eyes. I mean, he looked bludgeoned. He did not look good. And if judges had him winning this fight and this corner still threw in the towel, that should tell you all you need to know. Now, if you want to say this is a fight of the year, like a candidate, yeah, but man, there is something about Leawood and Mick Conlon that I don't know. Like that was even to me, that fight, you could score that thing even through all 12 rounds. This fight, I just saw Sebastian just destroying Lubin. With Lubin, he had no options. He's 5'9". His like trying to reach the guy's face is only coming up to the chest. Go ahead, James.
Okay, this is all I gotta say. All right, one. You said it all for why this is fight of the year, because everybody had Lubin winning and Fundura was able to get Lubin's corner to throw in the towel. Two, this is just like our intro. This is Little Mac against every single person he fights in Mike Tyson's punch out. All right. This is exactly how that is. He is a cheat code. It's not fair. It's gross.
All right. Let me throw this one last thing before we move on to the Golovkin Murata fight. You guys want to see a rematch?
Yes.
I do not know.
Well, first off, Lubin needs some time to heal.
All right. Second off, no.
All right. I don't either, but maybe down the line, but not an immediate rematch. Now let's move on to Golovkin and Ryota Murata, who got me up at 6 a.m. James was up at 6 a.m. Maddie Bush was sound asleep like a little baby.
I still watched it.
Raider baby. Live is pretending he's gonna watch it. James, I'm gonna call you Raider Live sweeping like a widow baby. So me and James were up bright and early getting the day started. The day's almost over at 6 a.m. James, break down this fight for us.
All right, yeah, I did. I woke up. I watched this fight. There's no way I was not watching this fight in real time. If I would have woke up and found out later what the outcome is, it would have taken away from me being able to see Triple G in action for the first time in so long. And guess what? He looked beefy, right? I'm going to tell you, he looked like a brick house, all right? Triple G looked, he looked cut. I didn't think he was that. He looked 40 years old for having his 40th birthday, like the day before. Man, you're looking pretty good at 40. Now, he came out slow. And I knew I didn't think he was going to come out slow, but that's just what he does, right? He comes out slow. He came out a little slower than I thought, just being in the first two or three rounds. He came out flat. It didn't seem like he was really, I don't know. He didn't seem like the Triple G of old, right? No, obviously he's never going to be the Triple G of old because he's not with Abel Sanchez. But eventually he started landing some good shots, and the shots he was landing were coming across the guard. He was doing his excellent jab. Then he was stopping Murata. When Murata was trying to punch in, he would just pop a jab and it would stop him in his tracks. And he was punching around the guard through the middle rounds of the fight. And he started to take control of the fight. And there was a couple of times where Murata came in and hit him really well. I mean, Murata was destroying Triple G's body like nobody's business, to the point where you could see him visually going, and it was not good. His left side was not okay. So Murata was hitting him with that right. but he kept moving to the left. It was kind of weird. Maybe Matt will touch on that later. But either way, eventually Triple G just took over. He started to utilize that straight, stop Murata in his tracks, started to walk him down, started to punch around the guard, hitting those body shots. And at one point, the tide turning shot was a right hook around the guard to his jaw, where it spit his mouthpiece so far out, 100%. After that, Murata was done. I believe it came out to the ninth round. Triple G had, I don't remember if it was a left or a right hook, but hit Murata so hard that it looked like he was out standing up. And at that point, the fight was called. You saw him throwing the towel almost immediately at that point. And Triple G did what Triple G does. He looked fantastic after that point, but he definitely still looked rusty. But man, Triple G, winner, ninth KO.
Just like we called it. Matty Bush, what's next for Triple G outside of Canelo? We know the Canelo fight's already signed up, good to go this September. But let's just say something happens to Canelo. Let's say there's a COVID-19 or an injury or something. Who would you like to see Golovkin go up against next?
Well, you know, like I had a couple guys lined up, but they moved up to 168. You know, like Jermall, like he moved up. You know, the big thing is all the Canelo trilogy, but sometimes I think the Canelo ain't going to come back down to 160 and it's going to be a catch weight. Otherwise, I have this feeling, and this is me speculating. Jermell Charlo is going to beat Brian Toscano and move up to 160. That will be the next fight. It'll be Triple G, Jermell, the little brother, the smaller brother. And it will be Triple G's finale out and be like, I just beat up your brother.
That's it. So, okay, that's it. So you think after that Castaño fight,
whoever loses that fight, well, first off, they don't want nothing to do with Fondura. All right. So one of them's going to move up.
Fondura don't want no Triple G, dude. Get out of here.
No, I'm saying, no, Jermell is going to win. I'm already calling that. Jermell's going to win. He's going to move up to 160 because he's already too big for that weight as it is.
Okay.
That will be Triple G's last fight.
Okay.
All right. I won't even entertain Castaño right now. I will accept the responsibility on what's next for Murata. So one of the first names, like just like you said, we have like 168. So I don't know what's going on with Andrade. But they're both on the zone. This fight should be able to be made quite easily. If you're coming off a loss, that's usually when people want to go in for the kill. So, Andre, here's your opportunity. Go out there, fight Murata, fight him. This dude's a star in Japan. I don't think he's ever going to leave Japan, so you'll have to go over there to fight him. But he is a star. What you got, James?
There's two things. One, yeah, Andre's fighting Zach Parker in the UK. Whatever. Another UK James guy is probably going to wipe James him up. I know I'm right. The other thing that you just said is that when I forgot about this in the walk-in, that they said Ryota Murata is the biggest name in Japanese boxing. Yep. That is such BS. You want to know why that's BS? Because Inoue is the biggest name in Japanese boxing. Murata might be an Olympic champion and all this sort of stuff, but there is absolutely no way that Naoya Inoue is not the top dog, the biggest draw in boxing in that sport for Japan, 100%.
It is Inoue.
100%. I don't know, man. I don't think you can make this. Inoue's fighting in the United States these days. Murata's not leaving Japan. I've watched Murata fighting Hassan Nadam back in April of 2018. The dude is still fighting in Japan. He's not leaving in Japan. They love him there. The heavier weights tend to get favoritism from the crowd. I don't know who the American like featherweights are here, but even the American heavyweights are going to be the more popular fighters. I don't think Japan has a heavyweight, but I don't know if Murata, I mean, maybe it's in a way. Inoue's been on the cover of Ring Magazine twice. I don't think any other Japanese fighters ever made the cover. Anyways, I don't know when that Andrade fight is, but when is the Andrade fight, James? You got it at your tips?
Ooh, I might have it.
Because if it's soon.
5/21, baby.
So it's about a month. The schedules kind of still align. Go ahead, Murata and Andrade. I want to see it. I want to see Andrade against somebody legit. Murata's still a legit opponent.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Murata.
No, you're not. All right.
Murata beats him.
I want to see Munguia get in the ring again. I think Munguia and Murata, that would show. I don't know if Munguia's still at 154, but if he is at 160, this makes for a really good fight, too. Two guys that are coming forward and willing to throw down. Will you chop your arm off, man? Chris Eubank, I don't know what he's doing these days. I don't know if he's at 160, 168. I don't know what's going on. I think he'll lose his pen on the way to Japan, but I'd like to see Chris Eubank get in the ring with someone like Murata. And last and certainly not least, coming off a big win against Mosley Jr., coming off a loss to Mosley Jr., Gabe Rosado. Gabe Rosado is willing to fight anyone. I think that would also make for...
Gabe needs to retire!
All right, knock it off. Any comments before we move on? Anything we want to add on anything we talked about? Your hand's not working. You had your hand up like four five times. All of a sudden, if you want to add something, my hand doesn't work. I'm out of here. All right, well, you know what? We're going to wrap this one up. Hold your peace, man. You ready to move on? All right, we're moving on. Let's go on to more of the show. All right, time for some brews and previews here. Big Showtime pay-per-view fight at Jerry's World AT&T Stadium between Errol Spence Jr. and your Dennis Ugas. We're going to have these guys break down the keys to victory for each fighter and go on to move on to our predictions. James, tell me what your Dennis Ugas, has to do to defeat Errol Spence Jr.
Well, so we haven't seen Errol Spence fight in a hot minute, right? We need to take that into account because that's kind of important in a fight like this. I watched Ugas take out Manny Pacquiao, regardless as, Manny Bush going to say, his legs are gone. He's so old, his legs are gone. They all lose their legs. I don't care about that, all right? Manny Pacquiao was literally this far away from Ugas from having that fight be 100% different, and it wasn't the case. And Ugas had a game plan, came in with that game plan, and he stuck to that game plan, and he did not flinch. He did not move. He was just outside and allowed him to close Manny Pacquiao's face to the point where I don't even remember his wife's name, but had to feed him food, right? And both of those guys looked destroyed after that stuff. So I think the keys to victory for Ugas, what he needs to do is he needs to execute a similar game plan. Okay. He hasn't fought in about a year. Oh, wait, that's not right. Errol Spence hasn't fought in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Right. It's been a hot minute. Dude, is this his first fight since his crash?
Yes, it is.
Oh, all he needs to do is execute that game plan. If he does the same, or Dennis Ugas needs to fight the exact same way he fought against Manny Pacquiao, if he stands his ground and he picks his shots and he stays just outside of range, and I mean just outside of range, I think Ugas has a really good chance at taking this away from the truth. And that's the truth, in my opinion.
Yeah, James dropping truth bombs all over the place. Matty Bush, you got some truth bombs you'd like to drop? Tell us how Errol Spence is going to win this fight. Keys to victory. Go ahead.
First key to victory, how does Errol Spence's face hold up after his accident? Because he has screws everywhere holding in teeth. He's got a bad eye. And we know notoriously in boxing, when you got a bad eye that's been surgically repaired, look at Antonio Margarito. There is an issue when you start taking shots on that eye.
Cal Brook.
There's going to be. Yeah, Cal Brooks won, but that was a different kind of eye situation. That was an orbital bone situation. Cal Brooks is completely different. He could take a jab to that eye, and things could go awry. Oh, that's kind of mad. That was kind of a rhyme. But like,
I'm not Joe Joyce.
I'm not writing.
MC Matty Bush
over here
on the mic.
Yeah. What's up? Yeah, I'm not writing nursery rhymes today. All right, I can't another day. But I'm just going to say, I'm going to say this. Errol Spence Ugas, as long as everything holds up for Errol Spence's face and eye they're all broken. Everything has been broken in his face. There's screws, there's everything. So every
so that's how Errol Spence is going to win. He's going to have a broken face. How beat your Dennis Ugas?
How does he win? Trainer,
if you are Errol Spence's trainer, what do you say to him to defeat Ugas?
He sticks with a stiff jab and he works the body, obviously. And that's his MO. Errol Spence is one of the best body punchers that has ever been around at this weight division. Look at all of his old fights. He's a great, he has a stiff jab right down the solar plexus, and he can rip hooks to the body. Errol Spence is a very talented fighter. As long as he has his defense up, he can do work to Ugas. I'm not saying it's going to be easy because Ugas is a Cuban national champion. I'm going to say this right now.
No, you're not saying none of that. You're just telling keys to victory, bro.
Keys to victory.
Oh, you got your chance. You said body shots and something.
You fight like you did. Hey, just remember, Errol Spence, while still kind of messed up, and he wasn't even healthy when he fought Danny Garcia, put Danny Garcia to shame, and no one has ever put Danny Garcia to shame like he did. Hey, go back and watch that fight. No one's ever made Danny Garcia look that bad. Well, Richie, you obviously don't know.
Brilliant.
So,
brilliant.
Danny Garcia lost to Keith Thurman, bro.
Let's just say keys to victory, body shots, and a strong jab. Boom.
All right. So let me comment on both you guys. I don't know if the game plan Ugas had against Pacquiao is going to work against Errol Spence, but I also think that's what he's going to try to do. He's going to try to stay in that straight line in the middle of the ring, cut off the ring when he needs to. And if it is working for the first few rounds, I can see him moving on with that strategy the entire fight, because it did work against Pacquiao. And if Errol Spence doesn't have a game plan other than what's Matty Bush saying? Marvelous Matt body shots, MC Matt body shots.
And a beautiful straight jab.
I don't know how you execute that against a guy who, like in Ugas, whose defense is immaculate. So I think it'll still be a good fight. I don't think Matty Bush is in the promotion business because I ain't buying what he's selling right now. So on that note, we are going to move on to predict. Unless James wants to chew him out for a little bit.
No,
we're going to move on to predictions. Judge, we'll start with you. Who you got?
All right. Are you about 2 seconds away from being muted up there? All right.
All right.
Stop saying sorry. Oh, my God. Okay. Predictions. What do we got? Ugas has been more active. This is Errol Spence's first fight back from his accident. Not an easy fight to take. AT&T Stadium. His last fight was at AT&T Stadium. He's had a previous fight at AT&T Stadium. As much as I hate it, I'm probably going to side with Errol Spence. Errol Spence has got the bigger reach advantage. He's taller. I think he does have the skills. Ugas is going to pose a problem, and I don't think anybody knocks anybody out in this fight. I think this is just going to be a work fest. Whoever works more is going to get this. It's going to get this cash, and I think it's going to end up being I think it's going to be as close to me as a split decision for Errol Spence, and that's the truth.
Oh, he topped it off well.
I liked it.
MC Marvelous Matt. You got your name now. Give us a prediction. Who wins on Saturday? Well,
first off, F you, James, because it's the same prediction I was going to say. I didn't have it all eloquently put with the truth at the end. But it will be Errol Spence split decision. The only reason I say that, because I think it could be a fight either way, honestly. But has Ugas ever gotten a decision his way when it really mattered? No. And now that Errol Spence is fighting in his home area, yeah, split decision, Errol Spence.
Gosh, this is tough. Because it's at AT&T Stadium, and we know how boxing works. We know how judges like to be on phones and whatnot. I don't know who the referee of this fight is. Look, I think what I am going to see is Ugas executing a perfect game plan. Now, is it enough to win over the judges? That is debatable. On my scorecard, I just have this feeling I'm going to have Ugas winning on the scorecards, probably by a round or two. So maybe 7-5, 8-4, something like that. 113, 115, something like that. I think that's what my scorecard would say. You know, rule number one, I'm betting on boxing. You don't bet on boxing. I think they're going to somehow get Errol Spence to win this because it's a nice little comeback story, and America loves the comeback story of the guy who came back and did this. So might chop off some arms next show, but what you got one last time?
I just want to ask the question. Do you think Ugas has got the legs to stay away from body shots from Errol Spence?
Yes.
That's all I'm asking.
Yes. I'm going to go with
you. Do you guys remember that Ugas ain't a young man no more, right?
Oh, my God. He's Cuban. We don't know how old he is, all right? He's probably only 24 years old, all right?
Conspiracy.
And Errol Spence is 32, so Ugas has it by 8 years. No problem.
So like, in boxing terms, Errol Spence is in his prime.
Well, you know, and Errol might be moving up to 154 too. He's been talking about moving to 154, so he may be just a smidge out of shape. I think he'll make the weight, but we've seen when guys make weight and go right to the buffet, it means they are drained and they are not ready to fight the next day. So we just don't know. There's so many question marks with Spence right now, but that doesn't take away from what I think and what I like to believe what we think is going to happen on Saturday night. Guys, anything else before we close out? Matt's going to just keep talking. Well, I'll get you one more word. If you got something else to say, get it in there now because we're about to close.
Okay, all right. I'm just super excited for the fight, honestly. I'm super excited.
Awesome. That's all we got. Let's cut it. Let's move on to the end of the show. All right. That about does it for us this week. Thanks for tuning in again. Want to give a shout out to Raider Live for letting me sit in his spot. Hopefully he'll be back next week. James, give him the links.
If you are listening to us and you want to watch us, you go to YouTube.com/BrewsAndBoxing. If you want to listen to us instead of watching the show, you can go to any major podcast site and type in Brews and Boxing. We are on all of them. All the ones. I don't even know anymore. All of them.
Marvelous Matt, you got any words of wisdom this week?
My words of wisdom is I got a new member to the family. It's my fish, Stewart. And he's a beautiful little man, and he's always hungry.
Shout out to Stewart. Just like his daddy. All right. For Judge Jimmy James and Marvelous Matty Bush, I am Filthy Rich. Boys, let's have a drink to that. Catch you on the flip side.
Cheers, boys.